We're in the middle of Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph. Haman took the Levush with a sus. Vayikach Haman is the Levush with a sus. He took them. Vayamish Mordechai, Vayikivei Mordechai Ve'ir. Vayikra Lefanim Kachi Yisrael Yishe Shem Melech Habit Bikare. So Chazal say from the words Vayikach Haman is the Levush with a sus, he took the clothing and the horses. He didn't just take the clothing, he didn't just take the horse. There was a whole matzav there. It was a whole process. The Gemara says that Esther closed up all the bathhouses, and Mordechai wouldn't change his clothes until he had a bath. So Haman had to give him a bath. Haman had to give him a haircut. Haman had to help him up on the horse.
Did Esther foresee this? Is that why she closed?
See, that's why she. Yeah. Well, again, there's a number of questions on this Gemara.
How come she cared so much that this should happen to Haman? The main thing is the Jews get saved. Why should Haman have to care?
Au contraire.
What?
I said au contraire.
Au contraire.
Au contraire.
On the contrary.
Perfect kid. This was the way, you know, this, the way, you see a recurring theme in the Megillas Esther. That they're up and they're down. Esav is up and Yaakov is down. That is an outcome of the bracha that Yaakov gave to Esav. V'hayakash etarid uparak du'loy me'altav arecha. When Yaakov goes down, so then you'll throw off the yoke of Yaakov from your neck, and Esav will go up. Before Rivka was born, Rivka went. One second, the pasuk says. Shuldix. Thank you. She went to Darshan Hashem. She went to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. The Shem Ve'eva should tell her with the Kayach and the Vua what's going on inside of her womb. She'd go by Beis Medrash, Beis Knesset. Yaakov would try and jump out. She'd go by Beis Avodah Zarah. Esav would try and jump out. And Shem Ve'eva told her, Shnei Goyim Bevitnei, if there's two nations in your stomach, Shnei Le'umim Imayach Yiparedim. When Goyim means great ones, there's two great ones in your stomach, there's two nations, they're gonna, as soon as they come out of your stomach, they're gonna go their separate ways. Elohim Elohim Yamas, so one nation overpowers the other one. It'll always be, the relationship between Yaakov and Esav is always going to be just like you're on a seesaw. You're playing on a seesaw, you can't be up and down at the same time. If you're up, then the guy on the other side must be down. If he's up, then you're down. And the struggle of Yaakov and Esav is—it's an ongoing struggle, and it's what the Megillas Esther, the sipur of Megillas Esther, is based on that. So it's very, very important to put Haman down. You put him down, so then you go up. You're right. The ultimate down is that he should go down. How much should go down? But he should give him a little pushes along the way. He should, go down. And this is awesome. Phil McGann has three questions on this Gemara. There's one that's a practical question. She said, how do you get, there must have been a lot of bathhouses in Shushan. The Phil McGann finds it hard to imagine that she got to every single last one of them in such a short period of time. I mean, it's doable, it's just not probable. It's hardly probable. That she got that Haman wasn't able to find a single bath. Haman wasn't able to find out a single bathhouse with intimidation. I mean, he's Haman. Go drag it.
It's not probable.
Right. Yeah. From the simple questions of on the ground brings a big aside. So I have all patience. He just says, how do you get? You can't. Haman couldn't find a single one. Has to close them all up. Yes, sir.
Couldn't find a single bathhouse.
Yeah, has to close them all down.
Why? I'm a little bit lost.
Yeah, I know, so you'll stay there.
I'm sorry.
The reason is because he wanted to make sure the Haman would have to bathe Mordecai. So if all the bathhouses were closed down, the Haman would have
gotten someone else.
Yeah. There's not next session, yes. Haman had 208 sons, wherever he went, they ran in front of him. He had 10 sons that were ministers. He had one son that was the scribe. Couldn't one of them do it? Haman's the only one. The bathhouses are closed, so Haman had to do it.
Mordecai insisted on doing it.
Haman doesn't have to do it. Mordecai insisted on Haman doing it because the bathhouses are closed, and Mordecai insisted he's not putting on the clothes without a bath. And by default, it's Haman. Mordecai has no right to insist on Haman should do it. If a bathhouse would have been open, he wouldn't have been able to insist on Haman doing it. He didn't have the license for that.
Yeah,
Achashverosh wouldn't expect it.
But Achashverosh told him to go do it.
Told him to put the clothing on him. He didn't tell him to give him a bath. Hmm. A bathhouse is completely and totally acceptable. But they were closed.
Is it because Haman wasn't willing to even let his son see that Mordecai's pushing him around?
It sounds nice to me, but that's not the answer that Vilna Gaon gives. It's definitely a pshat. And Haman didn't want to involve as few people as possible. There's a bit of a, you know, like you're saying, his children. He wouldn't want to involve his children in it. He'll do it himself, rather. Rather than involve, you know, he hated so much providing service to a Jew that he wouldn't want his kid to do it. And you know what? That's probably a push shot. Once the bathhouses are closed, so then he's just going to have to do it himself.
Yeah, but then he went home and told them afterwards anyway.
That's the first time that has ever happened in the shiur I gave. The traffic light fell down.
No sense of
direction. Yeah. So you see, Brian's asking a question on your chat that Haman did tell his family. The Vilna Gaon has another question. A third question. And this question, to me, is the question which is the most powerful one. Esther went to great lengths to hide her true intentions from Haman. Esther, according to most of the Mefarshim that we mentioned, Esther wanted Haman to think that she was being makar of him. Esther wanted to build him up. Esther wanted him to fall from a very high place. Esther wanted the Jews to think that she loves Haman. Esther wanted Achashverosh to think she's not close to Mordecai. All these pshatim that we've been saying. Could you imagine her keeping up this facade if she closed down all the bathhouses right before Haman's going to take Mordecai to a bathhouse? Isn't this the question of all questions? You know, something like that's going to get out.
She wasn't keeping up the facade anymore.
Oh, yes, she was.
Right now.
Oh yes, she was. She wanted until the very moment that Haman's about to get killed. Oh, certainly, most certainly,
right.
Most certainly. And it was just as important for the Jews not to have confidence in her. All the reasons we mentioned are still legitimate reasons to keep it up. And she's closing down every single bathhouse in the city, every single one of them.
After the decree was made.
What decree are you talking about?
The decree after.
Yes, and you know, she had to do it in a very short time. She couldn't do it like, you know, subtly over a period of time. She had a period of minutes. That means it was a royal edict. That gets out. What happened? The Vilna Gaon is a totally different shot here, which brings out another one of the many nisim of Miguel's Esther. The Gemara in Shabbos stuff, pay off from the base. Brings down a Gemara. It talks about Kishuv. Kishuv is
magic.
Otherworldly powers. It's commonly known as magic. Whether Kishuv is magic or not, we'll call it Kishuv, okay? We'll call it Kishuv. The Gemara gives an example of Kishuv. Rav Chisda. The Gemara Shabbos, Pe'alah from the base. Rav Chisda, Rabba bar Rav Hula. Rav Chisda and Rabba, the son of Rav Hula, were going in a boat. There was a matron, a Gentile matron, a matronisa, generally someone of nobility, someone chashuv, They're always messing around with the Talmid HaChacham and trying to make the life miserable. She wanted to join them in the boat. But that's not the best of situations for a lot of reasons. I mean, these matrons, we find encounters between them and Tanoim, that they wanted to force Tanoim and Amorayim to have forbidden relations with them. It was not a good idea. You don't sit in a boat with a Matronisa. They wouldn't let us. They said no. Amr Ihi Milsa, she said something. Asrasala Arba. She locked up the boat. Boat couldn't move. Asrasa. Simulation Issa. Issa does not mean forbidden. Issa means tied up. The reason why we refer to forbidden things as tied up is because if it's forbidden, it's tied up. You can't open it. It's Asa. Mutter does not mean permissible. Mutter means untied. So Asrasa, she assered it. She tied up the boat. Amr Ina Milsa, they also said something. Shayusa, when they untied it. But the rest of the Gemara is very interesting. It's important, but it's not integral to what we're discussing. The Vilna Gaon makes a deal from the Gemara that when the Gemara says Asrasa, she tied it up. The Gemara says she tied it up not with ropes, but with kishuv. And then they untied it. They untied the boat. They used the kayach of kedusha, of course, and the kayach of kedusha always overcomes.
A Kabbalah.
It said they said something. The Gemara doesn't tell us what they said. The reason why is because the Gemara didn't want us to know. They said something. They didn't use kishuv, obviously, because it's usher.
You can't use kishuv from that kishuv.
No, it's usher. It's usher. It's a chomer. But then there's no need to do that. Who said kishuv is effective in being without the kishuv? They used Hashem. I mean, they invoked the name of God, and in front of the name of God, kishuv is powerless. And then, what is powerless? The boat could go. The Vilna Gaon finds a parallel between the Gemara Shabbos and the Gemara in Megillah, because the Gemara Megillah says, didn't say Esther closed all the bathhouses? It doesn't say that. It says Esther Osra Lechol Bei Bani. She was Osra them. It doesn't say she was Sagra them. It doesn't say Sagra. Sagra would mean to close them down. It's a Gemara Maseches Megillah, Daf Tzayin Amud Aleph. Esther was Osra, Zakta Vilna Gaon. The same way the word Osrasa in Maseches Shabbos means that she used Kishuv. So the word Osra in Maseches Megillah means that Esther used the Kayach of Kedusha. When Chasu Shalom, Esther didn't use Kishuv, but she used the Kayach of Kedusha. In other words, that all of a sudden, Haman, see, everything in Megillah to Esther has to appear natural. Everything in Megillah to Esther has to be beneath the surface. When the Gemara says that she closed him down, that means the Haman went to one of them, and he sees a sign on it, going fishing. Goes to the next one, be back soon. Goes to the next one, you know, in Yiddish it says often, in English it says closed. In Haman's case, in Persian it says closed. You know, I've seen that, you know. They don't want a certain clientele, but in Yiddish it often, in English it says closed. Every place Haman went to, there was a different excuse. Esther's involvement was never revealed. You know why? Because she never got involved. She davened to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but she did whatever those Talmid HaChacham did in Maseches Shabbos, which we don't know what that is. And they were closed in a totally natural manner, which answers all three questions, because this way she can get all of them. It's a truly effective way of getting all of them. This way, Haman's children couldn't do it because they just couldn't. The same way that the bathhouses were closed down, she closed down. Anybody that attempted to do it was incapable of doing it for some reason.
She only says that she closed or she tied up the barbershop. Didn't say anything.
Bathhouses
doesn't say anything about.
Yes, and the Vilna Gaon's understanding is that she's closing up the ability to give him a bath. She didn't close up. She didn't go there with a hammer and nail or a padlock and padlock the bathhouses. She made it. She did something which. It's not important for us to know, and we're not, you know, I don't think we're capable of understanding it at this stage in our lives. And she did something that made her incapable for anybody to give him a bath besides Haman. So that would include his sons. And this way nobody would find out about it. So they would still think she still preserved the layer, the appearance of a relationship between her and Haman. This is the way it is supposed to be. Well, of course, the Pashup Shot, even the Pashup Shot was out the Gemara, it was part of the command that Haman should do it. But the Gemara doesn't learn like that. Of course, in this Pasuk, there's a famous Medrash. The Haman's daughter was standing on top of I guess some type of high building, and she couldn't see very well. And she sees a nobleman walking through the streets of Shushan, leading a horse. Upon it, someone that's dressed with kingly robes. And she immediately jumped to the conclusion that Haman was on the horse and Mordecai was leading the horse. Now I ask you, she obviously didn't recognize them, because then she would have known that she was mistaken. So she didn't know this by sight. I'm assuming that all she saw was someone in the king's robes on the horse and a nobleman in front of the horse. Why of all people did she jump to the conclusion, the erroneous conclusion, the fatal conclusion, the Haman's on the horse and Mordecai's in front of the horse? Maybe Mordecai was on the horse and Haman was in front of the horse. Maybe neither Mordecai or Haman were on the horse. No. Maybe Haman's on the horse and not Mordecai in front.
She knew Haman was going to get Mordecai. She went early to
get
Mordecai.
To kill him.
To kill him.
You're making the question even stronger.
No,
Haman didn't look like someone that was going to be killed. He looked like Haman.
Haman would come over every day explaining how he would want to get Mordecai, and he was the leader, he was going to take over the king, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But she naturally assumed when she saw someone, what she was brought up with.
How many people do you think there are in Shushan?
No.
A lot of people.
No.
Wouldn't there be somebody else?
Whenever you see someone, you always think of someone that you know, whenever you come by, you're like, oh, that's that.
She's going to drop a pail of garbage on somebody just because of that flimsy evidence? She dropped a pail of garbage on someone. It could have been somebody else. It could have been her brother-in-law's father, or her next-door neighbor, or her math teacher, her science teacher. Like, you know, what is? I just
saw his hat.
She thought it was Mordecai. She looked at her and she thought it was Mordecai.
She assumed no one else can be wearing the royal garb.
Right. So obviously she was a talmida of Haman. You know, we're looking at this from a truly Jewish perspective, that, you know, the Jews are going to be on top, the Goyim are going to be on the bottom. Every single detail in this entire story, well, I'll call it a story, it's not really a story, but every single detail, every single down to the smallest, minutest part of it, contributes to Klal Yisrael being redeemed, Klal Yisrael getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu again, to the Goyim that opposed Klal Yisrael becoming totally irrelevant and decimated, you know, and trodden under our feet, and other Goyim joining Klal Yisrael, and that's what Megillas Esther is all about. And there's no extra details. There's nothing that doesn't belong. It's all part of this masterpiece, this tapestry of Gulas Yisrael. The ultimate Gula is going to be as a result of the Gula in Purim. Purim is the catalyst that started things rolling. So, you know, we said this a few times in the past program, that that's why, you know, when Big Son of Terah sought to kill Achashverosh, so why did Mordecai snitch on them? Let Achashverosh die. Because Mordecai saw that every single thing that's going on now is not an isolated incident. If he knows about a plot to bump off Achashverosh, it's not because he's a loyal servant of the king and he should know about it. It's because it has something to do with the Gula of Klal Yisrael. Every single thing. And the Gula of Klal Yisrael is that Mordecai is on top and Haman is on the bottom. Mordecai is the most honored person in the land, and Haman is hanging his food for the vultures. So there's only one possible outcome of this. They both can't come out alive. Mordecai has to come out that he's a melech, and he was. Mordecai's a melech. And Haman has to come out that he's dead, and he was. And not only is his body dead, his soul is dead, Bezayin and everything. That's the Jewish perspective. So anything they saw, anything out of the ordinary, I would say, anything out of the ordinary, anything which didn't fit, was automatically a part of the process, whether they understood where it was leading or not. They had the, you know, they had the Mahaluk, but from Amalek is anti-Klai Yisrael. We have to understand this. Amalek is not just another nation that's trying to make our lives miserable. They are anti-Klai Yisrael. Whatever Klai Yisrael is in Kedusha, Klai Yisrael has Tzaddikim, Klai Yisrael has Ga'inim, Klai Yisrael has Nevi'im, Klai Yisrael has Gibbarim, Klai Yisrael has a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, they love the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amalek is a mirror image. They're exactly the opposite, and that's why they can't tolerate us. There's other guy that could tolerate us. Chazal say, as long as Klai Yisrael is not in Eretz Yisrael, Yisrael could tolerate us.
Chazal?
Yeah. It's in Pirkei Avot Eliezer. As long as Klai Yisrael is not in Eretz Yisrael, Yisrael could tolerate us. That's what they can't stand, is that we have something which they feel belongs to them. So they don't, they're not like a Malik at all. They're not like a Malik at all. A Malik lives from our death. Like a vampire. A vampire could only live by killing people. And if it's mamish, a vampire, the Musa of a vampire came from Kepesara. Kesarah get their life from death. A Malik lives from the death of Klai Yisrael. If Klai Yisrael doesn't die, so then they choke to death. They're desperate. They cannot live if Klai Yisrael is alive. Klai Yisrael spells doom and destruction for them. They can't live if there's any respect for God in this world. You have to. It takes a little bit of adjustment to go down this road. And everything was going their way. Everything. We said that it, for all appearances, everything was going Amalek's way. But the trap was about to be sprung. So if Haman's daughter sees someone being led through the street in the king's robes, it can't be anybody but Haman. It has to be Haman. Because Haman, his star is rising. There's only one thing left complete for him to do, for him to get to the highest he can possibly get, and that's to knock off Mordecai. That's the only thing left. Klai Yisrael's already in the dumps. They're really in the dumps. Remember, they're jumping out of buildings. Remember that Medrash? They're in the dumps. They're dead. They're dead people. They're dead. They just don't know it yet. And they do know it.
She was trying to play.
There must be Haman. She believed it. I'll use the word for... She believed in Hashkacha Pratis of the Keach HaRa. If somebody has the kingly robes, all the events in the past few years has been leading to this culmination. She believed in Hashkacha of the Keach HaRa. And that means that Mordecai has to be one leading him, and that's what, and she was she had more certainty than if she would have seen it with her own eyes. Okay?
And she was trying to play her part.
Yes, knock him down even more. That's right. She wasn't just trying to air her frustrations. Knock him down even more. You see, the covet and bezayin play a big role in Megillas Esther. But Yashar Mordecai al Shah Mel. So after all this covet, so you think that Mordecai would someone that has such covet would want to might want to strut around a little bit, chill with his friends and they'll say, "Oh man, that was so cool." No. Mordecai Yeshua Mordecai Shamalak, he returned to the Sanhedrin, which means that he was unchanged. He was totally unchanged by this experience. Same Mordecai before is the same Mordecai. Bayasha means he returned to himself. Well, Haman is a little bit different, but Haman did have an effect on Nidchav Obeisai. He went with urgency to his house. Avel, he was in mourning. Bechafui Roish, and his face was covered. I mean, you all know what this pasuk means. Yeah. The Targum tell us a little bit here. Mordechai went back to the Sanhedrin, and he took off all the royal garments, and he put on sackcloth. Vayashev means he went back. That means he went back to everything. Put on sackcloth. He had to put new ashes on his head because he had taken a bath. And the only reason why he was willing to take the ashes off is because he saw this as part of the Hatzal of Klai. He saw
fast.
Didn't say he ate. Having Maida, he expressed his heartfelt thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember, this was the first sign that things were changing. Until this moment, all of Klai was going to die. Having Maida, Mitzali and Ramshi, davened the entire day. This mom should gotta be Israel. Rahman was in a state of confusion. You know, someone rocked his boat.
Who says this?
This is the Targum. And he went to his house. He was in Avelis. Why was he in Avelis? Because his daughter died. The Medrash says that when she finally realized that she dumped garbage on her father's head, she jumped off the building and she killed herself.
Was there a purpose in that, or just out of frustration?
Well, she couldn't live with doing this to her father. Some things are worse than death in the eyes of some people. When she got to the point when death is a release for what she's going to have, he's going to kill her. He will kill her. So she died.
Then why was he sad, though?
Oh, no, he's not famous.
If he was going to kill her anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he would have made her life a living death. He wanted her around so he could kill her. No way you're going to die. Well, I want to kill you. He's in Avelis. And that's what it means. Chafui Reish means his face was covered because there was a minig of Avelim to wrap their faces up. So he was in Avelis and he kept the custom of Avelis. He wrapped his face. And he was also embarrassed. He just went through the streets. So he had two reasons to cover his face. That's the target. The Kerech has a remnant here.
Usual.
Mitzkaf for Beisai, which he went with urgency to his house. Beisai could also be pronounced Bito. The word Beisai, which means house, could be pronounced Bito. It's a Mitzkaf. Bito means his
daughter.
His daughter. That's the Kerech.
Why, they didn't know?
Who didn't know?
His wife?
Well, they did know.
What?
Just that the Rakech saying that the Pasuk itself is saying that the daughter died. It's not just a Medrash, it's in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says the daughter died because it says Nitachaf Elbito. He went home with urgency because of his daughter, Eva, and he started his Avelis.
Yeah.
He started his Avelis. He's embarrassed. Right, so the Targum says Avil is over his daughter and Chafui Reish is over his daughter. Both of them.
So wait, who is the one who said Bita and Besa?
Okay. The Ramagan says the Avil and Chafui Reish mean two things. Two different things. Avil is he was mourning the death of his plan. When he set out that morning, early in the morning, he was filled with joy that he is going to hang Mordechai. And that, you know, that plan of his died a premature death. He's not going to be able to hang Mordechai after this. He realizes that. He tried to hang him, and instead he had to honor him. That puts a knot in his plans. So he's in mourning. He's in mourning over himself. There's a part of him that just died. I mean, not that he gives up totally. We're going to see. He doesn't give up totally. But there's something that just died. So Avel, the Vilna Gaon explains, it's Avelis over his plan. And Chafui Reish, he was embarrassed. So the Vilna Gaon adds all the things we mentioned. He was embarrassed that he had to be a barber. He was embarrassed that he had to be a bathhouse attendant. And he was embarrassed that he had to lead him through the streets. And the Vilna says, that's why it says Nidchaf. He went with urgency because he wanted to minimize his exposure to the streets. He had to get He had to get out of town and get behind closed doors as soon as possible. So that's how he learns the pasuk. On this pasuk, there's a commentary of the Yosef Lakach. He addresses this point that Mordechai took off his sackcloth. And we know from previous psukim, Mordechai resisted that. Even when it was implausible, he goes to the gate of the king. He wants to go in. He knows he's got to go in there. He knows that the salvation is there, and he's not dressed properly. Put on, take off the sakatanisa, do the hishtadlus. And as we explained before, no hishtadlus. His sackcloth that's his tefillah. He's in a state of prayer. He can't take it off. He's in a state of prayer. you can't go in. So Hashem will work it out. But he can't stop davening. Hashem will work it out. He has been talking. Hashem will or he won't. But he can't take over sackcloth. That's his davening. That's his talus. That's his tzun. That's his tefillah. He's in a state of prayer. He can't take it off. He didn't take it off even against the all evidence to the contrary that you should take it off. Go in. That's just a take it off. He wouldn't take it off. And here he takes it off. What's the difference? The Yosef Lakach says, you know what the difference is? In the previous time, so to speak, Kibi Yachal, Mordechai was in the middle of Shemen Esrei. The middle of Shemen Esrei, you don't take your talus off. I'm using a metaphor. But here he saw his tefillah was answered. Mordechai saw Haman is leading him through the streets, Haman is bathing him, Haman is giving him a haircut, and Mordechai sees that Hashem answered his tefillah. The answer is freely, he could take the sackcloth off.
And the reason he went back to do it was his
top. No, so the Yosef Lakach doesn't say he went back to Sakhav Tanisei. When I said he went back to Sakhav Tanisei, that was the Targum. The Targum says. Oh, so the Yosef Lakach has a different shot. I'm sorry. You are right. I am wrong. No. The Yosef Lakach says that he took it off, it was only temporary. That since he saw tefillah was accepted, so he took it off temporarily.
The whole picture wasn't complete.
Right, because his tefillah was only answered partially. His tefillah was answered of how much he started going down. So he took it off for that. But then he put it on again for the next installment. So he took a kiddush. Vayashav Mordechai al Shar HaMelech. Mordechai returned to the gates of the king. So I'll remind you, in the Targum, we said that means to the Sanhedrin. But the Yosef Lakach says, Shar HaMelech means the gates of the king. The king, not referring to Achashverosh, but to Achashverosh Baruch Hu. The Mordechai returned to God. How do you return to God? Through Tefillah. And they're both true. I mean, he went to the gate of the king, and he went to the gate of the king. They're both true. Yeah.
Who said that little one?
That's all the Yosef Lakach, the last few things. Now we know that Megillas Esther culminates in Klal Yisrael renewing their vows with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, they are the betrothed one of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, with the Naram Arasa of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it culminates with the Matan Torah, which means that Kadosh Baruch Hu was bringing this all about in order to produce that result. And the Rekech finds a remez, you know, in this pasuk. The Haman returned, Evil v'chafui rosh. That is, you know, the evil was covered over. The evil was embarrassed. The evil was destroyed. V'chafui rosh is the gematria. 611. Does anybody know what else is the gematria of 611?
Almost all the mitzvahs.
The gematria of the word Torah is 611. Torah. So you see that that the bittul koyach hara, when the koyach hara is nullified. What?
Which one? Chafui Rosh.
So it's a gili of Torah. You know, the Sur Meiran is a say type.
Torah is much of what? 6 foot?
Yes. Hafurosh. And then there's another interesting angle. The Akamam Leis has another interesting angle. Yeah, the Yeshiv Nakach is a little bit more optimistic. You know, his tefillah was niskabel. Now let's go on to the next stage. But the Akamam Leis has a different angle. Totally different angle. So the sooner he returned to the Shar HaMelech for what purpose? Why is it telling us that? He returned to the Shar HaMelech because now Klal Yisrael is in dire straits. There's an emergency. You see, until now, Mordechai had in the back of his mind, the voice comes to worse, and this decree actually comes to fruition, Chas v'Shalom. So then he always has the option of going to the king and saying, I saved your life. I can't do this to my people. It's worth a try. It's like a secret weapon. He's holding back. It's worth a try. He saved the king's life. He's Jewish. How can you kill out the Jewish nation? That's until he gets rewarded. He was very happy they didn't get rewarded. He saw it as a sinner in the Shemayim. But since he didn't get rewarded, you know, that's very strange. You saved the king's life and he forgets about you? So it must be, Mordechai figured, it must be supposed to use that schus to save Klal Yisrael. He saw it as a sinner in the Shemayim. But when he was rewarded by Achashverosh, by Haman leading him through the streets with great honor, he panicked. I don't know if he panicked. But he saw that he had to do something. He used the word panic. That was an improper use, improper term, panic. Mordechai doesn't panic. Mordechai reacts. But he said, Klal Yisrael's in danger now because the last arrow in the quiver, the last bullet in the chamber, the last gumball in the gumball machine has been used up. So when it says he went back to the gates of the king, so the Yalkut Me'amleya says he made a prayer gathering. There was an emergency. He got all Klal Yisrael together, and they davened because there's nothing left. He told them. He gave them a shmuz. There's now no longer anything left for us to rely upon. It's all gone. We're in big trouble. But he said, but that's good news. Why? Because now the only one we have to rely on is the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So let's pray. You know, at that point, you reach out to Kaddish Baruch Hu. You have no choice.
Weren't they already reaching out from the night before when they couldn't sleep? And
as long as you have one thing left, then there's, you know, there's a limit to how much you're reaching out.
The Kleisel didn't know that.
Well, Mordechai made a Hisaris to make a special Hisaris at Tefillah, which means that the level of Tefillah they're able to reach after he tells them that is deeper than what they could have reached before then. He was my heir then. He brought them up. Once they're like a beautiful mushel. You could daven. Yeah, you could daven. But then you could daven. And then you could really daven. And then you could really, really daven. It's not pasha. There's amkus. There's depth. There's depth to tefillah. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim says that when one is capturing a city, successfully capturing a city, you should leave one hole in the defenses, like a gap in the defenses. So if anybody wants to give up or escape, they should have a place to run out. Now you have to ask yourself a question, like, why should you do that? You're letting the enemy get out, just totally encircle them and then wipe them out. And the terrorists just push it. People fight different when they're cornered. If there's a way out, so it makes it more difficult for them to muster up the will to fight you, because I'll run out. I see, you know, everyone over there is running out. They're being treated very nicely to keep the Geneva Convention. Yes, yeah. Prisoners of war have rights, and they get a package from the Red Cross. So then they don't have the same will to fight. But if there's no way out, they're going to die anyway. And the Nazis were masters at this, at providing ways out. They killed millions of people, and they had panels of experts, psychologists, that provided people with the way out. You know, that this is, I guess, one of the most famous pieces of evidence for this is what was engraved in the grill work over the entrance to Auschwitz, the words Arbeit macht frei. But they reinforced
it. Mean?
You work, then you get your freedom. Arbeit macht frei. Work brings freedom. You work, you're going to be valuable, you'll be indispensable, and then you live. You don't work, you'll die. It's even in the killing camps, and they kept on. It took a while for people to realize that nobody makes it out, no matter how hard you work. but then they killed those people and they brought in a new group. In Treblinka, they had psychologists that they measured the mood of the inmates to see at what point they're going to lose their sense of self-preservation. Because when a human being loses his sense of self-preservation, then he's a destructive force. He'll do anything. He's unpredictable. If they know they're going to die, 100%, so then they're very dangerous. You can't, you know. So they had psychologists that would, you know, that would make an assessment, and at a point when the people got to a certain point when they figured out what was going on and they gave up hope of getting out alive, then they killed them and brought in a new group. This is the side. Well, Klai Yisrael is now in that matzav, that there's nothing left. So the tefillah that comes from such a thing is the tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. This is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this tefillah. And he stripped us of everything. Haman related over to Zeresh, his wife, and to all his beloved ones. We know what those are already. You'll notice the order is reversed. Back in Parakei Pasuk Yud, it says Haman brought his Ayavav, his beloved ones, and his wife. And here it says he's talking to his wife and his beloved ones. So somehow or another, his wife has assumed a prominent role. And in the previous parak, when they were developing this masterpiece of an idea to hang Mordechai, so Zeresh was like secondary. We switched around. He's called Asher Karal. Everything which just happened to him. Karal means it just happened. Oops, you know, happened. Vayomu lo chachamav. So then the wise ones told him, chachamav, they make an appearance here for the first time. Who are they? Zeresh Yistai and Zeresh's wife. Imizara Yehuda Mordechai. If he's from the offspring of the Jews, Mordechai. Asher Hachilosa. This is just the beginning. Linpalafanav, to fall in front of him. Vaisuchalai, you won't be able to overcome him. Kinapal tipal from him. You're going to fall or you're going to fall in front of him. So they tell them it's all over. Give it up. It's all over. Give it up.
What?
Give it up!
1 second. Zeresh
Ishtel. And there's Ayavim and the Chachamim.
No, but the last time she told him, go make a tree and hang him up.
Right, that's before Haman had to lead Mordechai through the streets.
No, but now he's because he saw that
he's falling. Remember the side. Once you fall,
you don't
get up.
Okay.
You know, it's like the Jewish, you know, the firm of Yidla, they kept on getting sent to Siberia, you know, in Russia during the communist regime. They sent people away for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And finally this guy got out. And then he got out, he went back to his town, and they picked him up again. The commandant of the NKVD calls him and he says, have a seat. He says, no, thank you. The last time I sat down, I didn't get up for 10 years. Yeah, once Haman starts falling, he doesn't get up. He's wrong. You get that? Okay, whatever. That's it. So they told him, the Targum says, they told him, you know, you're just like all the other ones. Avimelech, Paro fell in front of all the kings, the four kings fell in front of Avram Avinu in war. What? Yeah, the four kings. Yeah, Nimrod, Raphael, all those, you know, Nimrod, and all his cronies in the war. Avimelech fell in front of Yitzchak. Yeah, the Malach, Esav's Malach, the Tar Malach, by the way, you know. Our Malach fell in front of Yankov. Paro got drawn by Moshe and Aaron. Anybody that ever tried to do bad to the Jews, God gave them over to the hands of the Jews. He says, you're not going to be able to do it, give it up. It would have been nice if they would have told him this ahead of time. Remember, ahead of time, she worked it out that we're going to do what they did better because we're going to hang him, and hanging is going to be effective because no one ever tried that. And now she sees that she was just plain wrong. It was just plain wrong, and, you know, it's going down the tubes, and let's get out of here. Let's get out of town. Let's get out of town.
Is it possible the Chachamim are the same people, but now they're actually speaking Chachamim?
Yeah, that's very, very insightful of you. That's very insightful.
Do you want to stop vlogging?
I'm in the actually the Chachamim with Mashma. You see that they finally had a Dvar Chachma. The Svasema says something a little bit different. Svasema says that they were the same people. They were the Ayavav, but the Pasuk calls them Chachamim. Why? Because they no longer wanted to be identified as Haman's beloved ones. They didn't want to go down with the ship. So instead of being buddy buddy with him, and you know we're all in this together, and we love you and everything, and you know if you're in trouble, you know when you laugh, Haman, we laugh with you, and when you cry, we cry with you. All of a sudden, they said, well, from a purely intellectual point of view, we think that you have a problem. And Haman said, I have a problem. What happened to we? He said, well, you know, we didn't do it. You're the one that built it. Remember the Chazal? Who built the gallows? Did he have a team of people building it? He built it himself. So Haman, you know, we're out of here. We didn't think it was such a good idea in the first place. You built it, right? We didn't lift a twig, you know. So the Sasama says that they were fair weather friends, and they're called Chachamav because they're former Oyavavs. The Volagana is Pasuk, you know, takes note of the word Karahu. He told them everything which just happened. The Volagana says, Haman told over to his wife and things that just happened. This just happened. This just happened. He's going to kill Mordechai. And he turns up, Amr and Mordechai, this just happened. Is he in denial? Is he in denial? Yes, so the Volagana says it's Amalek Lishitasai. Amalek believe that everything it just happens. They don't allow a Kadosh Baruch Hu a guiding hand in creation. And even if a Kadosh Baruch Hu does want a guiding hand in creation, they deny it to him. And they believe that through their wickedness, they could actually take a Kadosh Baruch Hu out of creation. And what causes things to happen? There's mazalos, there's heavenly bodies, and there's certain times of the year, and certain times of the day. It's everything is contained within Olam Hazeh. This constantly, you know, Aquarius is in this position, and Sagittarius is over there, and it's all just happenstance. So Haman, you know, he didn't want his plan to die. He's in denial. But how do you save the plan? This is clear as kakapratis. So if you believe that everything just happens, so Haman says, listen, everything just happens. If everything just happens, and this could also happen. Everything happens, so this happened too. Sometimes it happens, you know. Sometimes you win a blackjack. Sometimes you know it comes up snake eyes, playing. Sometimes you know, as I say, you know, things happen. It doesn't always happen the way. It's a Hefka world. How much did you see? I was all the way on the top. I'm all on the bottom. It's just mazalas. Don't worry, my plan is still good. So I'm trying to convince them that there's nothing. There's no monkey wrench in the plans. We're going full steam ahead. Nothing is stopping us. This is just an isolated happening, an incident. He's a stupid person. The Vilnagain says they didn't believe him. And they said, make shalom with Mordechai. Take down the tree. That's what they gave him advice. Take down the tree. Make shalom with Mordechai. Be Mordechai's shadow. Be his best friend. Because he's going up. Don't, you know. And he didn't listen to him. He did not listen to them.
Maybe is it possible that it's also his gaiva? It says when he's telling them about all the good things, like, oh, look what I did, look what I've accomplished, this. And as soon as it's something bad, it's like, look what just happened.
It is his gaiva, but it's not simple, ordinary gaiva. It's the gaiva of someone that has the capability of reaching the pinnacle, the greatest level that mankind could reach. Amalek is capable of reaching, you know, understanding. They can understand a Kadosh Baruch Hu more than any other guy in the world. You can understand that. Sometimes often an enemy will understand his adversary, his opponent, better than a follower or a friend, because he has to learn everything he can about the enemy in order to topple him. Ahasuerus, the access they have to the Seidus HaBriah, is what contributes to their driving. You know, on the one hand, you could say, wow, this Bria is so great, and I have such an understanding and an insight to the godness of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so how insignificant I am. And that's Klal Yisrael's way of doing things. And the other way of doing things is, wow, I have such great understanding in the godless creation, so I must be such a great person. Because look how deeply I was able to penetrate. And that's Amalek. So it is gaiva, but it's not the average run-of-the-mill gaiva. Okay. Okay, we have more to say on this possible, but we have to continue.